Welcome, everyone, to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. It is early November, election day for some of you. Did you vote, Jim?
What?
Did you vote?
I didn't even know it was election day. I don't watch
the news. In some places it is. Like, there's a big governor's race in Virginia, apparently, going on.
Well, I think in North Carolina, my fellow not-Republicans are going to take care of business.
Because
it needs to be taken care of.
Every day?
Well, there's some sinister things going down here.
Oh, I'm sure.
So,
but that's not what we're here to talk about, folks.
Oh,
welcome
yeah, it
to
is.
Space Game. No.
Oh.
I'm your co-host, Brian. That's obviously Jim. Hi, Jim. Yeah, we haven't talked in a while. We've had guests and guests and guests, and last week we had a game to focus on, if you can call it that. Oh, poor Dark Star One. But
No. It gets
not really. I uninstalled that as soon as the podcast was
I
over.
Did as well, and I enjoyed it.
I couldn't wait to get rid of it.
I enjoyed the 3 clicks that it took to kill it.
It's a shame it's not on Steam. It would have been even easier. But
hey,
no,
so I want to bring something up.
Oh, okay, folks. We're just kind of random, like, newsy, talky. We might have a topic, but go ahead, Jim.
I'm Batman.
Oh, God. That sounded more like Bane.
You nearly adopted the space games. I was born into them.
You have to send me a link for that again so I can add in the show notes. Jim sent me this
over at the Hulk
video.
Bundle, they have the Batman games. They are Arkham City and Arkham Asylum for $4.
I can barely understand you, man. That's a really good Bane impression because I can barely understand what you're saying. And I haven't even seen Dark Knight Rises.
No, you haven't because you're lame.
No, because it looks stupid, and I don't want my... love Batman. I love Batman so much, I don't want to see it. I feel the same way about Batman and Robin. I've only seen like 10 minutes of that, and I refuse.
Oh, no, you don't need to see that.
No.
Is that the Clooney thing?
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Bat-nipples.
Yeah. No. Bat credit card.
Now, you want to see the one... I can't remember. There's Batman and Robin, and then there's...
Batman Begins.
Batman Begins.
And then The Dark Knight.
No, not those. Batman something. It was the
animated ones?
No, there was two that had Robin, right? There was Batman and Robin, which was...
Batman
Forever, that's it.
With Val Kilmer.
Okay, but which one had Schwarzenegger?
That's Batman and Robin.
Okay, it's worth seeing just for that.
I saw enough in the first 10 minutes. I don't need to see anymore.
Dude, it's a short.
Unless you want to do a podcast about it, then I might suffer through it and do one of your bad movie podcasts.
Well, this is it right here. Let's do it.
No.
Okay.
We have to stay not – okay, on topic. That's funny. But you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
On point.
I know that you like space movies.
I do.
Okay, so there's this space movie I discovered. It's a scourge from Italy. It's called The Baron Against the Demons.
Yeah, is that the one with Carrie Fisher that you showed me the preview of?
No, that was The Time Guardian.
Oh, my God. How do you find this stuff?
Well, there's an internet, and I learned there. No, there's certain CD back channels of the internet where they trade in old VHS.
Oh, God.
That have never made it onto DVD.
Oh,
and,
my.
And I'm a member of such. So these things come along, and it's like, these are the bottom 100 movies on the internet. And I go through there, and I'm like, it's just eye-widening. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't even believe what? And, yeah, so those are two of them. The Time Guardian with Carrie Fisher, which is kind of a ripoff of The Terminator a bit, and Krull and The Matrix.
Hey, Krull is a great movie.
It is.
I own that movie. I actually have it on DVD.
I like the flying horses with the flaming feet.
Oh, yeah. No, I love the weapon, the glaive.
Yeah, but he didn't get it out except at the very end. He had so many things to kill, and he never used the – it's like Voltron, right?
Yeah.
Where he doesn't get the big sword
or
out.
Or Pacific Rim. Really.
Yeah, Pacific Rim.
Or any anime-ish thing like that where they're like, okay, we try all these other things. Let's do what we always do and pull out the sword, but why don't we do it earlier? I don't know. It's just the story beats.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, that happens.
So
space.
We haven't had a just shoot the shit show in a while, so space pirate show.
We haven't had a shitty show in a while. What?
Every show is that.
The shit will be shot. So, endless space. So they're adding a free add-on for Disharmony.
Yeah, the search for arugula. No,
Rugula.
It's Aruga. A-R-A-U-R-I-G-A.
Ariga. But I like to pronounce that as if it was like an old Model T horn.
Amiga.
Yeah, exactly. So there
you go. I see it as Amiga every time. Every time I even glance at it, I just see the search for Amiga. I don't know why. It's just what my brain does.
Yeah, you got to put your Kickstart disc in.
At least it's... I never had an Amiga.
Oh, well, you had to boot it off of a Kickstart disc, and then you could load. Yeah, there was an OS disc. And if your OS disc ever went corrupt, you're baked. So, yeah, we all had 10 copies of that.
You could just go to Egghead and buy another one?
No, we didn't have that. What? We had Babbage's.
Well, yeah,
Electronics Boutique. No, this was a disc that came with the system, and you needed it to load. It was basically the DOS boot floppy, and if you weren't loading a game that had its own boot sector stuff on it, and it required the operating system of the Amiga, then you would need the Kickstart disc. And you had to insert that, and then it would boot up, and then you'd kick the disc out and put whatever in that you were doing. I was living stylishly. I had two floppy drives.
I'm probably, once I get to Starflight on my journey of playing every space game, I'm probably going to play the Amiga version because it's prettier.
It's probably less painful because they had a joystick in mind whenever they...
Yeah. Well, the Genesis one, I think, is the least painful of all of them. Believe it or not.
Possibly, because they probably streamlined the interface.
Yeah, they did. They did. I played it on an emulator.
Endless Space.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, there's a new free add-on for not the base game, but the add-on. So there's a free add-on for the add-on.
Right, it's called a patch. But at least they're not charging you like a DLC patch, because that's...
No, I know. I mean, I feel bad. These guys are actually I feel bad. They're pumping out a good amount of work for this game. It's not like they put it out once and let it go.
They're pumping out a soulless zombie of a game with no soul. Is that what you're saying? Because
I'm not trying to say that, okay. But yes.
But I played it.
Try to be diplomatic.
I played it some, right?
So have I.
And it's like make ships. You send ships places. They colonize planets.
Yeah.
And then there's a little diplomacy that doesn't really feel like
that,
much.
That means nothing.
So
it absolutely means nothing.
Here's the problem with the game. It tries to be not Master of Orion. It's like, we're going to be Master of Orion, but try to disguise that, and it ends up being less than Master of Orion.
Because they
bent the things that worked okay, right? And the reason that Master of Orion worked okay is that everybody had played Civilization to death, and Master of Orion was Civilization in space. It had the same, I have this much population, and I can put these guys on energy, and these guys make food, and these guys make production, right? And then I have this many points. And it was the exact same formula, and it worked in Master of Orion, Master of Magic, Master of the Obvious. I don't know.
Wrong. You are not wrong. I still contend
that the best Master of Orion game is Starbase Orion on the iPad. And if they would just port it to the PC, I would give the cold 20 bucks right now.
I would love to see that. I've also been told there's a good game on the iPad called Eclipse, which is apparently apparently based on a board game, which is excellent.
I haven't put too much time into it, so I can't really speak to it.
Well, apparently it's excellent.
Yeah.
So
Speaking of
games like that, did you hear the big news?
Ender's Game doesn't suck?
No, apparently it does. Galciv 3 was announced.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
PlayStation 3,
That's from that guy.
What guy?
That guy. You know, the guy with the political problems.
Let's try not to bring that into this.
Brad and I have some huge differences about how you treat human beings.
Well, I know. I've read the things, but we might have them on in a few weeks.
Okay.
Delightful. I think we talked about having them on the first Tuesday of December, so we might have them on. So I think we should. Do you have Galciv 2?
Yes.
Okay,
I haven't really played it much. I haven't either, but I haven't really gotten into 2. You know why? 2 makes you build the spaceships too much. Like, let me have the AI, right? It's like, I would love to have the option to build my own ship, but don't force me into playing a Lego game when...
Exactly. That's how I feel.
And the interface is kind of obtuse and weird. It's not like... when you're in Master of Orion or, what's that other game?
That other game.
Pooh. No, the one that came out, like, broken to death, and then they patched it and put the phone in. We had the guy that did the wiki.
Sword of the Stars?
Yeah, Sword of the Stars. Okay, so in Sword of the Stars, you have there's a nose module and then a cargo module in the middle and an engine, yeah. Right? And you have, you know, you put your whatever kind of nose on it you want, and then the center module defines what the ship does, and then the aft module is your power systems and your drive and stuff right, like that, sure. Right? And then you can say, okay, now, because I put these components, I have this many weapon sockets, and I drop weapons in them. Okay, that's great, and I love to build ships that way. But whenever you make me actually get out my tinker toys and I have to bolt a ship together, maybe I don't want to do that. You know, because how many times do your ships change over the course of a game, right? Do I want to be in there like cooking new ships every couple turns, really? Or do I just want to say, this is a design that works and let's just automatically upgrade that to the latest and greatest every time it docks? That's kind of right. Where I'm at because, I don't know, I don't want to play space Legos.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I was just thinking about that today because people were talking about a game called StarMade, which is basically exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks cool, but I find I don't have the patience for that anymore. I don't have – like, I don't want to build stuff. I just want to get in and shoot with them.
Yeah,
or if
or if I build it, I want to have it for an appreciable length of time.
Yeah, and I want to get into these games, but I'm finding that I just don't have the patience for all these building games.
Yeah. Well, the thing that makes a building game good is like it's like a coloring book, all right? I can color a picture and I can do a really awesome job, but if there's nobody to show it to that's going to appreciate it, well, I did it for myself, right? And that's fine. But my patience gets kind of slim on that after a while because, you know, there's no audience for my work. Mm. But if we had a cool multiplayer game where I could make some kind of crazy whacked out design and then people would be like, whoa, that's awesome. Then, you know, that would be cool. I would totally be down for that. I would invest the effort. And I think that's why people do. It's like in Minecraft, I could build some kind of zany super galactic castle in Minecraft. I could make my Starship Enterprise in Minecraft, but I'd only do it on a multiplayer server because I'd want to share that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. People are talking about that on the various forums I hang out. And apparently, shipbuilding will be streamlined this time, I think I read. So, yeah. And maybe optional. That's one thing I like about Distant Worlds. I mean, you can build the ships if you want. You don't have to like tinker toy with them. It's just a matter of values and like weight and hull space. So it's a little easier, but you don't have to.
Mm.
The AI does a decent, not a great, but a decent job of building, you know, ships and
yeah,
and
it's
stuff,
it's like so. The AI should show me what it thinks is good, and then I can optimize it.
Yeah, sure, I'm fine with that. Or yeah, or like, and I don't mind like in like games like Evercron or Free Space or Freelance or whatever. Let me tweak my ships, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be a mechanic.
Yeah,
it's not what I signed up for. I don't want to be a, you know, a ship mechanic. I want to be a pilot. Damn it.
Hmm.
Or an admiral, not a ship designer. I want to be a fucking emperor.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, hey, Wing Commander, what's this blurb you have here about on your website? You mentioned Wing Commander, and you're like, the CIC has a couple things to note. They've got like 3D rendered Bearcat. And
yeah,
shit.
Well, yeah, you know the Wing Commander CIC, right? That website's been around forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was just when they report news, I just send people back to them. So someone made a 3D rendered model of the Bearcat from Wing Commander 3, and then someone else made some 3D renders of some ships from The Darkening. So I just think that stuff's cool.
Okay, so it's nothing that's like going to be interesting.
No, the big news besides Galsiv and Endless Space is let's see, Star Citizen reached $26 million. Jesus Christ.
That's a lot of money.
Funding.
You know what's going to happen? If that game comes out and it even remotely sucks, it's going to destroy Kickstarter.
You see, a lot of people are worried about that. A lot of people are like, it's getting too big. Stop having stretch goals. Blah, blah, blah. Just put the money toward the game. And I get that.
Yeah, at this point, make the game. Those ships, dude, it's insane how much those things cost. We won't discuss how much you've spent. But It's
about $800. I'm going to be honest, about $800. But the thing is, I'm on the low end of some people I know. I know a guy who apparently they're going to be selling the carriers again soon.
Now, are you counted in the $26 million, or is that a different channel than Kickstarter?
Oh, that's everything.
Okay, so it's $26 million, including all the pre-purchases.
Including this is everything. This is from Kickstarter. They started the crowdfunding thing on their own website.
Yeah.
And people were like, I want to do a Kickstarter. So they started a Kickstarter, and that brought in $2 or $3 million. I don't remember exactly, but that brought in a decent amount. So, but now you pledge through the website. And so they just reached $26 million, which is enhanced capital ship systems. $27 million is we get a new merchant ship, the Banu Merchantman. And then at $28 million, they announced that you can get a new starter ship besides the now classic Aurora.
Now, so, is that for people who backed it, or that's everybody gets that?
I think that's what just anyone will. I don't know. Let me see. Create another ship.
What?
It says the starter ship for Star Citizen. So I'm guessing, because once the game goes on sale, if you haven't backed anything, you buy the game. Like, it's like Guild Wars.
Right.
And so you buy the game, and then I'm guessing when you buy the game, you can choose one starter ship or the other starter ship. That's now, what I'm guessing.
Are they going to force you to play through the Squadron 42 stuff?
I don't think so. I think that might be optional. I'm going to do it, obviously.
Yeah, I'm going to do it too, but it's the thing of optional. Like, you know, day one, it's like Grand Theft Auto 5, right? Assuming that GTA 5 could have come out without the multiplayer being broken all to shit, but
yeah.
It's better now. But anyway, when they launched it, right? So you get this game that is basically two separate games using the same engine. So there's this fairly lengthy single-player game that's going to run you 20 to 40 hours, and then there's the massive, the world is open then at the end of that, right? But you have the option to never touch that single-player thing. It's like I'm playing Battlefield 4 right now, just came out last week. Awesome game. But that, I'll never see the single-player.
Yeah, I think you can skip it if you want, but I think the benefit to do it is
a boost. You should have your money.
Yeah, no, you get money. You get, I think, extra skills and some other stuff. So I think if you do the single player campaign, you'll start later than other people will if they just jump right to the system.
Because faction's going to matter in this too, right?
Yeah, so you
should have certain groups that like you more because you're a veteran. And other groups that hate you.
That probably will. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't be.
I hope so. I mean, I'm sure that they're thinking this very deeply over there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we should probably get, after the dog fighting thing is launched late this year, early next year, we should get Chris Roberts back on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So.
Talk about.
Ethereum.
We're not going down every little.
I'm going down the list.
Not all of this is big, man. It's just a new fighter. That's all it is.
Okay.
Let's see. If you want to talk the big stuff, there. I mean, that was the big stuff.
So let's talk about the Mandate, because I've been seeing Mandate everywhere.
They've been doing a great job with advertising themselves.
Yeah, I saw like somebody on Reddit. They had a thing under the sci-fi games where they were and indie games, and they were talking about that. And how they had been on this and this, and like Rock Paper Shotgun had a big write up on them, and all that. And I was like, "Oh, hey guys, we had them first. Just saying, over here."
No, I'm glad they're getting all this attention. I mean, the game is exciting, So I mean, I'm glad they're getting a lot of. They definitely deserve it. I just wish some other games would get just as much attention, like Skyjacker, because it needs help with its.
How did that go? You guys had lunch.
Oh no, I had lunch with the guy we had on the podcast.
Right.
Yes, and that was excellent.
Okay, so
that was excellent. It was a lot of fun. It was a good time. Yeah, it was a totally good time.
So did you learn anything additional from that? Because when we had him on the podcast, it was kind of like this is going to be GTA in space, and it's all open world, and it's a sandbox. Yet what we were seeing was like. Encapsulated missions, right?
Honestly, more of the lunch was talking about immigrating to the United States and stuff like that. We talked a little bit about space games, but it was other topics. It was a good lunch, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, their Kickstarter isn't looking that great. They have 16, about a little more than 2 weeks to go, and they're almost $26,000 out of 150.
Well, if it's meant to be made, it'll find a way.
I know. I just, this is like their third, fourth attempt to do this, I just feel bad. You know what I mean? How many times can you do this before you get frustrated? And I mean, they still seem very gung-ho about it, and I'm sure it'll will get made eventually. Just
right. Well, that's the thing, though. They've shown persistence, right? Because a lot of people will just be like, well, there's this, and we didn't make it, and whatever.
Did you see the Kickstarter about Bridge Commander 2?
Nope.
Some guy ran a Kickstarter for Bridge Commander 2. It was going to be a free game, basically a mod. Not even a mod, like a built on the original Bridge Commander engine.
Yeah, so did Paramount smoke him?
He didn't say anything about it not having or not having the legal rights, but his Kickstarter was so oddly presented and worded that I think out of a $5,000, $10,000 goal, he made like $500.
Well, that goes to show you have to have something to show.
You have to have
to word it correctly.
You have to have something, and you have to make sure all your ducks are in a row.
Yep.
You know, you can't have a Bridge Commander 2 without saying, we are sanctioned by Paramount. They're fine as long as we don't sell it. Here's the proof. Here's the PDF of the letter they sent us, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Hey, nope, speaking of not getting smacked down by Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Star Wars Squadrons game.
I've been looking at that because I just found out about it. I'm honestly shocked I'd never heard about it before. And I'm excited about it. I mean, as long as they don't, you know, sell it, I'm hoping they'll be okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think as soon as there's a whiff of money, then Mickey Mouse can come sit on them.
Exactly. But as long as they just give it away, then and apparently you can contact them on the forums or send a message on the Facebook page, and you can get the early prototype, which we should do.
We should do that.
We should do that. I just found that out. But, yeah, they just released a video showcasing Oculus Rift support. And without an Oculus Rift, it just looks like two weirdly shaped monitors to me. But that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the kind of games that the Oculus Rift will really shine with, I think.
You know what would be really awesome?
Is Truck Simulator.
Anytime they show a YouTube video of Oculus Rift stuff, it always shows like the two eyes next to each other, right?
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see a way that you could actually record a video for Oculus Rift to watch in an Oculus Rift if you had one.
Can you watch these YouTube videos in an Oculus Rift and you'll see it?
I very highly doubt that, but that's what I'm saying is there needs to be a way to record two streams, one for each eye, and then display them, and then you get the 3D. Right, and I see great, great potential for the porn industry. For space games.
Yes.
For
space porn.
Just in general, though. I mean, if you could actually upload 3D YouTube videos, you know, if YouTube would embrace the Oculus once it comes out, and just be like, yeah, you can have one video, or you can have two videos in tandem, and we'll put one in each eye with our special player. Right.
Right.
So. But then you could be like Nick Cage and have an eye dominance problem, and then you have to drive the Jeep around with panties over your face with a snorkel or periscope thing. Have you seen my movie?
What movie?
Firebirds, man. Have you seen it?
Years and years and years ago.
Well, see, you've merely seen the movie. I was in the movie.
I know. You're in the movie.
So, it's like Bane. You've only adopted the movie. I was born in it. So there's that. So we were talking about Kickstarter and funding and these people that are doing that. And it makes me think alternative funding and Steam Greenlight, but not just Greenlight, but Steam Early Access.
But you're not too happy about it.
Well, I'm not disappointed in Early Access because a lot of times there's been like, you know, you'll see a game in development and you're like, oh, my God, I would pay them to be in the beta. Right, I would like take my money now, and I can be in the beta because I want to interact with this thing early on, and that's kind of what Steam Early Access is. Is once you have something that is complete enough that it does a respectable game, right? But it's perhaps not the final graphics or whatever would be in there, like we very recently saw with Delver, right? Because the graphics on that, and I bought the Android app, right? So the Android app still uses the old school graphics.
Yeah, that's where I first played it.
And I was kind of hoping that it would have got updated as well because it deserves it. But the graphical evolution that game made after I bought it I fired it up one day, and it went from looking like Minecraft to looking like, wow, this is really cool. And it's all through the power of hiring an artist, right? So that's very good. But I look at these games that are on Steam Early Access, and a lot of them, it's just like, it's noise. It's like, God, you know, they'll be like, well, the game, there's like three rooms, or there's only one gun, and we're going to put 20 in, but hey, Early Access, right? So you can get in. And it's like, well, that's nice. But I would like to be able to filter it. I don't say, you know, like, bah humbug, get this shit off my store. But I'd like to be able to filter it out. Because if I just want to look at complete shipped products, I would like to be able to do that too. And just kind of cut the noise out. But I think, so what's going on here? We have green light, and then once you get green lit, you can do early access?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there seemed to just be like a flood of the early access stuff that happened all of a sudden. And I wonder when things ever come off of early access.
I think once the developer deems them released, like that's what happened with StarDrive, is the game was, remember if you recall, sold on early access.
Oh, but that's a problem because that game never got released and then the guy walked away from it.
No, it got officially released.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
It was not.
No, I agree. But that's not an early access problem.
No. But it's a thing too of like, well, if you come out early access, is there any promise that you will ever finish the game? So it's kind of it's basically Kickstarter, but you get the game now.
Yeah, kind of.
And they have to have something that's somewhat saleable. So it's like, well, I can throw them money at this, but I've seen a couple of them. One of them from a fairly notable outfit. Their name escapes me right now, but it's that Nuclear Dawn. Have you seen that?
I think so.
Yeah, they it was previously called Wasteland Kings, and it looked really cool. It's basically, it looks like Binding of Isaac, but done in a, like Gamma World kind of. Do you remember Gamma World?
No.
Oh,
it's not Nuclear Dawn. That's that first person shooter thing.
Oh, no, it's not that then. It's,
It is Wasteland Kings.
No, they renamed it.
It did?
Yeah. I'm gonna go look. Oh, God. I got this spyware redirect thing.
Saw it the other day. I don't know.
Okay. It's nuclear something. Nuclear Throne. That's it. So the deal
is... That sounds like a toilet.
Kinda. I wonder if that's the joke. Like, right?
Here we go. No, I'm looking at the...
Oh,
I'm looking
dude,
at
go
it
look
now.
At it. You're going to want it.
Wow, that looks kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. It reminds me of... there was an old arcade game. It was...
Smash TV?
Gosh, no. Well, although, you know, Smash TV is kind of like that, too. No, it was an alien poop. I can't think of it. Alien poop? That was it. No.
I don't think I played that one.
No, I can't think of the name of the game, but it was an alien run around and shoot 'em kind of game that was very much like this. And I had
Xenomorph? Xenophobe?
No. Well, it's like Xenophobe, but top-down kind of thing.
I think
it's
I know alien... what you're talking about. Alien Legacy? Not Alien Legacy. There's a few. There's an alien shooter that's like this, and there's another alien game that's like that's kind of like this. What the hell are they called? There are a couple on Steam that are like this. Not Alien Swarm. What the hell? Oh, what the hell are they called?
I know, right? It's terrible.
So many damn games. I can't keep track of the names anymore.
Alien Syndrome. That's it.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, it reminds me of Alien Syndrome. And I didn't even Google it. I didn't get that far.
Oh, so, I haven't... Oh, God.
But yeah, Alien Syndrome, baby. You got to put that in the show notes. Because that was actually multi-platform. That came out on the Commodore 64 and the Amiga and
those
computers that played games back in the day. But this reminds me of Alien Syndrome a little bit, kind of. But the deal is, well, I see that their price has now come down. So it's early access game.
Remade it. For the Wii and the PSP.
Oh. Wow. It says, by buying Nuclear Throne, you can support Vlambeer and the rest of the team while they're working and live streaming the development.
Oh, it's
game.
Vlambeer. Yeah, those guys. Yeah,
it says you'll
receive
a new build of Nuclear Throne pretty much every week after launch. You know, the game will be available for... Now, here's the kick. The game will be available for slightly less than the early access price. So it's $12.99 now. It'll probably be like $9.99 at official release. So what you're saying is you're paying to get in the beta, plus you're paying a premium to help.
Well, they're doing that with Planetary Annihilation too, if you recall.
$80.
Well, didn't it? Didn't it come down?
It did drop it down to 60.
It's 60 now, yeah, because the beta came out. And I still need to play that. I kicked that, so I still need to play that. But I'm excited about that because I love Total Annihilation a lot.
Oh,
so,
I did too, man. That game was great back in the day.
It still is great. I played it a couple years ago after it came out on GOG, and I fell in love all over again.
Yeah, it was good times. Well, then the one that they had after that, the sequel to it.
I never played Kingdoms.
What was it?
Kingdoms, Total Annihilation.
No, not that one. God, that was terrible. Ooh, gosh. Terrible. No, it's another game just like Planetary or like Total Annihilation. It was, God, it's in my Steam list. I'm going to pull that up.
I don't know. Dark Reign? No, not Dark.
No. It was,
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's another game. It's exactly like Total Annihilation.
Really?
Yeah.
I played a lot of RTS games back in the day, and I bet you money I probably played it. I just can't remember it. Warwind? No, that was more like.
No, I mean, it's exactly Planetary or Total Annihilation. It's mechs, and the thing was you could zoom out and see them all over the planet.
Supreme Commander?
I think that's it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that came out in the mid-aughts. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's the same, yeah, because I got Supreme Commander 2.
Are they good? I own them.
Supreme Commander 2 is kind of decent, yeah. So that's kind of the gap. Like, if you like Total Annihilation, I don't know why you haven't played the crap out of Supreme Commander, because it is the child of.
Yeah, I know. I think when it came out, my computer would barely run it, and I just haven't really gotten around to returning to it. Not even though I've upgraded and I'm about to upgrade again.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I should return to it once I upgrade my video card in about a month.
Yeah,
less than a month.
So interestingly, Supreme Commander 2 is cheaper than Supreme Commander 1 on Steam by about $2.
Is that because of the expansion?
No, because then Supreme Commander also has an expansion that's also $14.99, which is interesting. Huh. So. Strange.
Well, those go on sale every Steam sale.
Oh, I know. There's no. Well, you know, I almost bought Batman, Arkham Asylum, and it's like $19, right? And then Humble Bundle hit today, and I was like, hallelujah, sold! Right? You just saved me like $20.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So that was kind of neat. Yeah, ain't gonna lie. But, yeah, I've been playing – this is pretty spacey here. I've been playing Batman Arkham Origins. Right?
Very spacey.
And yes.
Well, I've been playing Alpha Protocol, if that helps. It's also very spacey.
You know, okay, so Alpha Protocol, you haven't played Mass Effect.
No, but I'm loving Alpha Protocol.
Well, how can you love Alpha Protocol, but then you're like not wanting to play Mass Effect? Mass Effect is like the same game.
Because I love spies and shit. That's probably why. Okay. And I don't know. Alpha Protocol had me from the word go. Mass Effect was like.
I cannot understand why. Because fundamentally, they're a very similar game.
I don't know. It didn't grab me like Alpha Protocol did. I don't know why. I don't know. But I put 6 hours into Alpha Protocol. In the past, like, 3 days.
Yeah.
And really digging it a lot.
Okay, explain to me why. What do you dig? What's going on?
I like how you have – I love the conversation system because you don't choose exactly what your character is going to say. You choose a posture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could be suave. You could be joking. You could be an asshole or – you could be professional.
So you pick a themed response, and then yes, you don't know what you're going
to
actually say.
And whoever's talking to you, like depending on how you talk to them, your reputation with them could go up or down. And then if it's a handler for your mission, that can give you certain perks. That'll help you throughout the mission.
Okay,
and
I'll let you know when you say something that's not going on in Mass Effect.
And,
all right, go ahead.
And there's a fairly detailed RPG system. You can upgrade stealth, pistol. And pistol assault rifle.
Are there hacking puzzles?
Yeah, there is hacking. There's a few of them. There's a couple of them. There's also like some basic hand to hand combat. It's basically you like hit the E key and you punch.
Uh-huh. Now, whenever you fight with guns, is it kind of like a first person shooter? Can you pause and trigger abilities and stuff?
I've gotten to one ability where if you have a pistol, if you hit the ability, the game slows down and you could like tag multiple enemies, and then when time speeds up again, you shoot all those guys.
Oh, cool.
So that's pretty cool.
Do you have any squad mates on the mission that you have?
I haven't yet. I mean, I have not yet. So far, it's only been the people I'm talking to over the intercom. But it's neat because whole missions can change depending on – like there was a mission in Saudi Arabia where I was supposed to capture this one guy. And you're supposed to arrest him, but you can kill him. You can arrest him. You could let him go. And the game will be different. You might have access to resources you didn't have if you didn't let him go, you know? And, you know, if you go different places and do different things, your handlers might treat you differently than if you'd done different things.
Do you own Mass Effect?
Yes. I own the first two games.
Okay, you just haven't played it.
I played about an hour of the first one.
Yeah, the first one. Just really bored. Skip the first one. The first
skip
one was
the first
bad.
One?
Yeah.
Really?
Play the second one. Just jump
skip
straight.
Skip the first one.
Skip it. Jump straight into the second one, and you will, like, kiss
I upgrade,
your free time goodbye.
Once I upgrade and have more hard drive space, because I'm getting an SSD for my operating system, then I will try that. I'm not looking forward to it, because the first game was boring, but
the second game is so better. They streamlined it, right? And they took all the inventory management out. They took all the BS, and they just have a good story. And the story is great, and the characters, the way they're written, you actually care about them. It's like, well, we could go on a mission, or I could sit here and talk to Jack some more about her backstory. I'll sit here because I want to know, right? I want to dig for this is one of the first games that I've ever actually dug through the conversation trees and exhausted them because I wanted the backstory on people.
That's cool.
And there's like all that encyclopedia that fills in the background, you know, like you scan something and it's like, entry.
Alpha Protocol does that too. You have dossiers on people and groups, and once you like hear about them or find out about them, you will slowly fill them in.
Yeah.
And that'll actually give you bonuses during conversations and missions and stuff.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's really great. And it's funny, I was playing a mission in Italy where you're supposed to pretend to be a computer guy to fix a computer. And the guy you're talking to is kind of squirmy. So there are these four different options, and one of them is execute. And I thought it was execute a command with the computer.
Oh, you knifed him.
No, I shot him in the head.
Nice.
I do that, and the guy's like, I'm tired of this. Boom! I'm like, ha! Damn it! I did not plan it. Oh, God.
Didn't see that coming.
I won the mission. I mean, the mission was a success. I did not plan it that way, though.
Yeah.
But that's kind of – I know people who have played through this game like 5-6 times because apparently it can go all these different ways and have different endings depending on how you behave during the game.
Mm.
So not spacey game. Sorry, folks, but really, really loving it.
Yeah.
So you were going to talk about Batman a little bit.
Batman. I'm Batman. Yeah.
Yes.
So the new Batman is very interesting.
I hear it's not that great.
You kind of heard wrong. Yeah, there's some problems in the animation because they didn't do the character's lips quite right.
Well, it's not the same people who did the other two games, right? It's
right.
Different people.
And the thing that I noticed right off the bat is, like, in the older Bat, you see what I did? I didn't mean that. Anyway.
Good.
Wow. So the thing that I noticed immediately is that combat is frickin' hard. Like, much harder than the other two, okay? Because in the other ones, you could get a rhythm going, and the whole point... Have you played the first two, Arkham Asylum, Arkham City?
Yeah, I've played bits of them. I haven't finished them, but I have played bits of both.
Have you ever played it to the point where you, like, rocked out, like, a 50 or more hit combo and never got touched?
That's one of the reasons I got annoyed with it. I never got that good, and I was like, you know what? I'm not having as much fun as
you know what it's about? It's about patience, honestly. It's like... If you go in and you just mash on the X button and you're just like jab, 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 and then you're going to get hit, right? So you have to watch when they get that lightning over their head. That means they're coming after you. And you have two options. You can hit Y to counter them, or you can hit the B button, which like sweeps your cape at them, and they get a little bit stunned. And then you have options for takedowns and things. So sometimes you don't have the time to actually do... You know, like, there might be three guys that are fixing to hit you at once, and you have to recognize that situation, because if you counter one, then one of the other guys is going to hit you and break your combo, so you do the cape thing. And sometimes you just have to jump the heck out of the way, right? But as long as you hit somebody, is when you land from dodging, because you'll somersault over their heads and stuff, right? As long as you're actively engaging an enemy in some activity, then it doesn't break your combo, right? So I watched this video on YouTube today of a guy in the new game who racked up 130 hit combo. It took him like 5 minutes of continuously punching dudes. And it was just amazing to watch this, because I'm playing this game and I'm in the first challenge room, and I can go into the other Batman games and I can rack up a 20-30 hit combo without really breaking a sweat, right? I'm not a super guy in it, but I can do okay, right? The timing is different in the new Batman game. And also, the enemies will break your animations. In the old game, they would kind of stand back, you know, like, oh, you're breaking Steve's leg. I'll just stand over here and let you do that and then swing a ball bat at you when you're done. Not now. You can be in the middle of an animation and the guy will come over and crack you over the head. So you have to be careful about when you do things like that. So I find it very, very difficult to set combos up because the timing's off. And that's why some people have been bitching up a shitstorm, like, this game's terrible because, you know, it's not the same as the other games. And then the other people that are bitching are like, they're like, this is exactly the same as the other games. You know? Now, one thing that's weird about it, because it's Batman Origins, right? So it's supposed to be like his first year or two as Batman. Right. And all the villains get introduced. Like, the Riddler isn't called the Riddler. He's Edward Nygma.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, so it's like, well, Nygma has left me these clues, but he doesn't call him the Riddler yet, right? It's those things. The Penguin is an arms dealer, and it's just kind of, you know, these people in their formative years. The thing that's weird about that, though, is all the unlocks that you had for all of Batman's equipment in the more recent, you know, the more modern games of Batman, he gets all that equipment in this game. Plus some additional goodies.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah,
and I was looking at that. I'm like, what?
I think it would have been
not have that stuff.
Right. I think it would have been more interesting to have more primitive versions of things, or to see the first time when he invented something. Right. It's like, yeah, the Batclaw. I'm gonna make this thing. Right. It, as opposed to just like, oh, I unlocked the Batclaw. I had that in my pocket all the time. You know. So there's things that could have been done, right? But I think what happened is these guys got a property, and it's like, okay, we're going to put these – I think Batman's going to become like Call of Duty. We're going to get one every year now. And I don't necessarily dispute that. I really wish that I could play Call of Duty as Batman. That would be nice. Well, the multiplayer mode in this thing is interesting. So there's two teams of thugs, three guys on each team, and then two guys get to play as Batman and Robin.
Right.
And you go in there and the thugs are fighting each other for control points, right? And then Batman and Robin are just going around taking out everybody else. So you're kind of the chaos factor in there. Is you just might get ninja assassinated by Batman at any moment. So keep your eye on the ceiling while you're trying to play Call of Duty is basically how it is. So interesting. I haven't played very much of that. But I've watched some videos of it, and it seems entertaining. I don't think it's worth buying the game for, but it's cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So
have you been playing any space games lately?
I was playing Nexus: The Jupiter Incident for a couple hours today.
Classic.
Yeah, I like that. I put it up on Twitch. Actually, it's going to be in my channel.
Oh yeah. You'll have to send me a link to that. I mean, I know you kind of did already, but
we'll put it in the show notes. Or
it's long gone. Just send me another one.
Yeah. So, it's interesting. I like it. When we were on that long trip to Ohio and back, I put in Jack Campbell's Lost Fleet series. So my wife got addicted to this shit, right? So we get home and she's like, I want that on my iPhone right now. And that's what she's been doing with her evenings. She comes home from work and she goes and like vegges in the bedroom and like listens to Lost Fleet. I think she's like on book three now.
Right.
Yeah. So, gosh, they're long books. It's a 10-hour trip up there, and it took me like the whole way up and half of the way back to get through the first one. So, yeah. but I really like how he handles the whole space combat and how that works, because it's not like Star Trek and it's not like Star Wars. There's none of this like, well, don't worry about that physics stuff. You know, we invented a way around physics. So
exactly,
ships just fly like airplanes, or we have magic shields
or something,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the deal here is ships have big engines on the back, and they turn the engines on and they go really fast. And then when you want to stop or slow down, you turn the ship around and you turn the engines on, and you have to burn the engines as long as it took you to start going fast to slow down, right? So then that plays into combat, because if you're headed at the enemy and you're going faster than 10% of the speed of light, then you get a redshift effect. Because in space, and this is a thing that I've brought up with some developers before, whenever we have them on the show, I'm like, well, what do you use for detection, right? Is the game about maybe staying stealthy? Because spaceships in space games, generally, they just see each other. It's like we have magic radar, and it's populated with little red dots, and that's where all the bad guys live, right? And we just see them. It's magic. There's no sensors to worry about. Meanwhile, you look in like a submarine game, and there's a lot of subtlety. Detection is three-quarters of a submarine game. Like, if you get to the shooting part, then somebody has screwed up, right? So the way that the Jack Campbell books handle this is light is the commodity of everything in space, right? So we measure distance in light seconds and light hours. Right. And if ships come in through the warp gate, you know, at the jump point, they might jump into the system, and we're 6 light hours away from the entry point. So by the time we see them, they've been in system for 6 hours, because it took the light 6 hours to get from there to here. So when you're in combat, if I shoot a laser and you are 5 light minutes from me, that means I have to shoot where you're going to be in 5 minutes.
You hope.
Hopefully, yeah. But that's why ranges, you know, because you would say, well, there's nothing in space to disrupt a laser beam, so you can just have infinite distance on your weapons. Well, time is your enemy, because the weapon has flight time. Even though it's light, there's flight time there. So now you have to lead the target with a beam of light and hope that the target's going to be there. So it's about computers and predicting maneuvers and things like that. And if you go too fast, you distort your own perception of light, because you're moving at enough of a fraction of the speed of light that you have trouble seeing light. So then your sensors are blind. So you have to slow down. And his point is a tenth of light speed, or a hundredth of light speed. It's like 0.01 light speed. So if you're going too fast, you can't see anything. They might not hit you, but you can't see them. So nobody can shoot anybody. So combat tends to happen around interesting things like planets and space stations and entry and exit points of systems, which is how it would happen, right? Like, why would you fight out in the vacuum of space? There's no assets out there. There's nothing to contest. So the ships, they have to think about that, right? And then when the captain's given orders, he has to think, like, it's going to take 3 minutes before those guys hear the order that I gave, because they're that far away. You know, it depends on what formation we're in and what's going on. So there's a lot of prediction and reaction time. And I find that just completely satisfying to listen to this and just be like, yeah, that's really cool. So I was thinking Nexus, the Jupiter incident, reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Just in the look of the ships, because they are plausible science fiction. Because the ships kind of look like an extension of the Discovery or the I forget the other ship from 2010, the whatever it was with Roy Scheider.
The Konevalov?
Kutsunov or something. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, so that Russian ship. So anyway, the ships are designed kind of like that, because they don't have to look like anything recognizable, right? It's utility. There's a framework. You mount guns on it, and you want everything to be as close to the center of mass of the ship as possible. So spaceships tend to be a pencil with an engine on the back.
The Alexei Leonov.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, but, you know, you get the design, though, is like a spaceship, because you don't want a bunch of stuff sticking out to the sides.
Yeah, exactly.
For a variety of reasons. So they tend to be a pencil with a rocket on the ass, because you keep everything very linear, right? So that it's all on the axis of the motor. So, yeah, it totally makes sense to me. So I played a couple hours of that. It was satisfying.
Game, huh? Huh? Yeah, it's very satisfying, but it's also a difficult game.
Yeah, the interface is a little bit strange, and then the AI takes some liberties with what I want it to do. Or at least it's not explained. Like, I wanted to fire artillery, but I think that there's a minimum range within which the AI will not let me fire the artillery, because it might damage me or something, because there was a note about that. So I clicked the artillery button, and then I clicked the enemy, and then my ship's like, aye, aye, sir, and then it continues to do the other thing. And it's like, well, why aren't you doing what I told you? But I can't get far enough from the ship to test it. So apparently I have artillery guns I can't use. Unless the mission so dictates, right? But I like it. I'm interested in it now. So that's kind of cool. Hey, so you gifted me
AI War?
Yeah, AI War, which I haven't even installed yet.
Well, we might be talking to those guys next week about their new game, the Last Federation.
Oh, neat.
So I wanted to try and dive in to AI War.
Yeah.
And I tried this weekend, and someone from Gamers with Jobs was going to do co-op with me, but the game doesn't have, like, a central server. You have to actually do direct IP connect.
Weird.
And because of our routers and firewalls and all that crap, we couldn't make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So I just did the tutorial by myself. I read the wiki. Wow, that game is intimidating. And this is me saying this. That game is intimidating.
Which game is this?
AI War.
Oh, okay.
That's intimidating. There's so much shit going on, like, all the time. And I'm still going through, like, the intermediate tutorial scenario, which is only 10 systems.
Mm.
But you can have, like, 30 or whatever in a game. It's like, ah! And it looks crazy. And it's all real time. I think you can pause and give orders. But it's all real time, and you have to take planets, and you have to fight the AI. But you can take their shit, too, and they can take your shit. It's crazy! Yeah. And so it was on sale, and I thought we might be having those guys on soon. So I thought, there you go. I'll just give you that, and you could suffer with me, because Jesus. I mean, like I said, there's a tutorial, and someone gave me a link to a wiki which has a starting out page, and the starting out page has, here's a list of what you might want to look at. And it's got 8 main bullet points, and each bullet point has at least one sub-bullet point. You know, put turrets around your wormholes. Build 10 scouts and send them off in 2 different directions. And capture as much as you can. Gain knowledge from the planets, because that's how you gain knowledge, is you build shit around planets and they research. Keep scouting, and oh my god. And I typically love games like this, but my god, this one's intimidating.
So maybe that's why they call it AI War. It's like you just set a bunch of shit on AI and just let the computer do it.
I don't even know if you could do that, honestly. I didn't try. I was just playing a bit of it, and it looks pretty cool. I mean, it looks like there's so much you can do with it, but
yeah,
oh my
I need games that ease me into it, not just say, you know, you can control everything in the universe down to the nanoparticles, and you know, here you go.
Yeah, like
toolkits will help you, whatever.
Yeah, like I used to have the time and the patience for stuff like that. I don't anymore. As I get older and I have less free time, I just give me a quick tutorial. Let me jump in and don't make it so complicated.
Right, because we can is not always because we should.
And you know what? I'm really glad this game exists, because some people have the time and the patience and the wherewithal to go, I want this as complicated and crazy as possible. And that's good. I love that they exist. I love that it's been a success for them. I'm really happy about that. But God, it's frightening. It's frightening. Oh my God, scary. Yeah.
No, the game I wanted to ask you about was actually Space Wolves or Star Wolves. Yeah.
Oh, those are great games.
Yeah, because you gifted that to me.
Did I? Yeah, a while ago. Those are great. Those are like tactical, real-time RPG thingies.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a mothership, and you have fighters. And each fighter can do different things, but each fighter is a pilot, and the pilot can have different skill trees. And they gain experience, and you level them up, and you can unlock different skills. Like, oh, this one could snipe from a long range. Oh, this one's good at evading suddenly. And, you know... And the mothership can have weapons, and the fighters can have weapons, and there's 3 of them. The first one is very linear. The second 2 are a little more open, but they're all a lot of fun. I revisit them every now and again, because sometimes I just want to come into a system and blow shit up, you know. and they're a good time. I not everyone enjoys them, but I enjoy them. So
that's
why did
cool.
you just send me?
I sent you an image.
That looks familiar. I think I've played that game.
It's the aliens coin op game with the, yeah, with the, no, two, I, the two guns on the front.
That. And the gun had the button on the side, yeah, for the grenades.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that game. That was a great game.
Awesome.
Oh, that's random. I'm still, but yeah.
No, I'm still working on my arcade podcast thing. And,
oh, really?
But whenever I was looking for Alien Syndrome, I was searching for like alien games, and, oh, and that popped up in the thing, and I was just like, yeah, I got to send that over.
Did you play the side-scrolling alien one where, yes, you're Ripley? Oh, that was another, yeah, great
did
one.
You play Alien versus Predator, the side-scrolling one?
Do
you remember the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles beat 'em up? It's like Double, yeah, Dragon. Yeah,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
that,
I love that.
With, oh, play Ripley or the Predator and side-scroll and beat 'em up. It's pretty great.
I think I remember that.
Yeah.
I'm not even a huge fan of side-scrolling beat 'em ups, but
I'm not
love,
either. But
some of them you gotta love, like every the Simpsons now and then. And the,
oh, speaking of, so Simpsons, another game that's on sale on Steam right now is Guacamelee.
Is what?
Guacamelee.
Oh, I have that for my Vita. That's a great game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like $2 fun. Or something on
it's
Steam.
It's tough. No? It's not an easy game, nope, but
it's a Metroid game, isn't it? It looks very Metroid-y.
That's what they call that. Yeah, they call that Metroidvania, yeah, something like that.
It looks like a good time.
Oh, it is. I've played a good chunk. I've played a couple hours of it on my Vita, and I've had fun with it before Spelunky got its claws in me and has barely let go.
Yeah, I heard Spelunky is basically a roguelike, you know, where it's
a roguelike platformer.
Mm-hmm.
Where every game is randomly generated. And the great thing about Spelunky is you're not leveling up your character. You're leveling up yourself as you play, because it's all about timing. It's all about situational awareness.
Yeah.
And, like, you never want to fall. You never want to drop. You never want to just fall off a cliff, because you might fall to your death. You want to look down, see if there's spikes down there. And you always want to have something in your hand to throw.
Yeah.
You know? Great little game. It's perfect on the Vita. It's absolutely perfect on the Vita.
So I have to show you this other game, because Japan was like, oh, yeah, Spelunky.
Oh, Japan. Right? What do you have to show me?
It's this game. It's called La Mulana.
La Mulana?
Yeah.
Oh, is that the Indiana Jones-ish one?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
It very much reminds me of Spelunky. The game is hard as balls.
It's linear, but apparently it's hard as nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of this. It's on Steam, and it's on GOG.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking a lot about space games now.
I know, right? Like, there's a lot of space happening.
I have been playing Drox Operative. Now the expansion has been live. Now the expansion was finally released. I've been diving more into that.
Yeah, how much does that cost to get into? Can you buy a gold version that's got the expansion?
No. The base game I think is 20, and the expansion is 10. The base game itself has a ton of gameplay, but the expansion adds another race, which is, I'm really loving the race. It adds space stations. It adds new types of equipment where you can put in chips to add even more bonuses.
Mm.
There are sub-races now that you can unlock and become, I believe. There are more quests. It's a pretty – have you played it at all? Have you played Drox Operative?
For like 2 minutes. There was like
there was a
download thing, yeah.
There was a demo. But the full game just – I've probably put maybe 40 hours into the full game.
It seemed interesting. It was like Diablo in space kind of thing.
It is. It's kind of like Diablo in space with a 4X going on all around you.
Mm.
And the empires are doing their 4X thing, and they will enlist your aid.
That sounds almost like Distant Worlds, but with an action element.
Yeah, it's much more actiony than Distant Worlds. Like if you just did the one ship thing in Distant Worlds, it wouldn't be as visceral as this. But that's about the closest you can get.
Yeah.
Really. But yeah, like empires will. Hire you. Empires will be like, "Ooh, declare war on this other empire and help us destroy them." And you can destroy colonies on planets, and you could, you know, destroy other ships, and you could, you know, have alliances and all this shit. And there are all these different types of victory conditions, military, economic, diplomatic, and it's really an impressive game. I love it. So I've put about between the beta and the release, maybe 5 or 6 hours into the expansion.
Yeah.
And it just adds more goodness.
Hmm.
And so yeah, I'm working toward reviewing that, but that's the space game I've been playing a lot lately is Drox Operative. Especially since they added gamepad support. I don't know why, but even primarily a mouse-driven game where you have to use a cursor to select shit, the gamepad still works. I mean, you use the right stick to control the cursor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as like fast as a mouse, but in most situations with auto targeting, you're fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a great little game. Mm. Highly recommended. Highly recommended.
I saw that you also purchased Sid Meier's Ace Patrol Pacific Skies.
Well, I haven't played the first Ace Patrol, but I got it for cheap. I just haven't gotten around to playing it. But I love, there are two games by Avalon Hill, three actually, that I just adore. Flight Commander 2, Over the Reich, and Achtung Spitfire.
Mm. I remember Flight Commander 2 from back in the day. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, Flight Commander 2, these are all, they're not flight sims. They are turn-based tactical air combat simulators.
Yeah, I kind of got blown out of Flight Commander 2 because I lost the manual.
Oh.
And then it was one of those, like, look this up on this page in the manual. And it's like, seriously, it's 2002. Why am I doing this?
Yeah, no, that's a great game. But, yeah, so I love, I mean, Over the Reich and Achtung Spitfire are like two of some of my favorite games. Achtung Spitfire is the earlier part of the war with the Battle of Britain and everything. And then Over the Reich is the latter part of World War II.
Oh.
And
kind of reminds me of Dawn Patrol. Was old tabletop miniatures.
Oh, really? Because there's also a flight sim called Dawn Patrol, I believe, as well, isn't there?
I'm sure that there would have been.
I think there was by Empire Interactive a while back. It was the precursor to Flying Corps?
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, so I love those games, and so I love Sid Meier as well. I'm a big fan. So when I saw he was doing a tactical air combat game, I was like, ooh, I have to get that. I have not played it yet. But if you have an interest in that, there's another one called The Few, which is similar, but mostly around the Battle of Britain.
Mm.
And I toyed around with that a little bit, and that's also fun. I play way too many games. I have the attention span of a gnat. So I'll like, ooh, I want to play that. I want to play that. And then I'll just bounce from game to game to game. Like I was playing, for example, Need for Speed Most Wanted for a while. But because of my chuggy video card, like 20 minutes into the game, the graphics would start to go, ugh, ugh, ugh. It would start to stutter.
Yeah.
Like the whole game world would just start to chug. I'm like, I can't do this in a racing game. even when the graphics were set to medium, it was doing that. So I was like, shit. So I'm going to get a new video card and more RAM. That should do me for a while. I hope.
Hopefully so. Oh, speaking of other science fiction, Deus Ex, Human Revolution, Director's Cut.
Yeah, I can get that for $5 since I own the other stuff. I haven't yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to after I finish Alpha Protocol, but I've not played the third Deus Ex at all. I've only actually played the first one, which I really loved back in the day, but I never played the second one because apparently it was awful.
And, yeah, it was bad. Not great.
And I haven't played the third one because I heard the boss battles were terrible,
right,
but apparently in this new director's cut, they're much better.
Right, that's the deal in the director's cut. That's the reason I spent $9 on it just now, seconds ago, while we were talking. I was buying it because I want to get it before they yank that offer, if it ever goes away, right?
Are they going to yank it?
I have no idea, but I don't trust anything. It's like, get it now or you may never see it again.
Now you got that in my head and I should... Oh, God.
Anyways, so they retuned the boss battles. They turned the yellow filter down, which some people don't like because it kind of softened. Yeah, you know how like the first... Well, you didn't play it, did you? So they use a lot of amber in the game for interfaces and stuff.
Okay.
So when you're walking through the game world, it has an augmented reality system. So there will be dialogue boxes that pop up off of ordinary objects as it identifies things in the environment. And it's all very bright orange, right? So they toned that down. And they kind of used it as a mood color. Like some games will use blue, you know, like there's just a bluish cast to everything. This game had an amberish cast to everything. It's almost like you're wearing amber sunglasses when you walk around. So they toned that down severely.
Oh, that's good.
Some people loved it. Some people hated it. Well, it's a mixed bag.
Can you put it back to the old way, like if you want?
I don't know. Maybe. But yeah, but the thing to me, it's like I can play the game because the boss battles are retuned. So I dig that. I enjoyed the world thoroughly. I like that cyberpunk thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched any of the Ghost in the Shell stuff?
Years and years and years.
Okay, have you seen the Ghost in the Shell standalone complex? It's a TV series. They ran like two or three seasons.
Don't think so.
Okay, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's very, very worth your time.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can just consume it, you know, an episode here and there. They're like, I don't know, 40-minute episodes or something. So, yeah, it's a good time, definitely.
I'll play it eventually.
It's not really, it's like tied into the movie some, but not necessarily hard tied to the movie. It kind of exists on its own. But it's basically the Neo-Tokyo cyber SWAT police force. Right, okay. And the things that they get into. So it's very dystopian future cyberpunk stuff. So there you have it.
Okay. Well, I guess on that note, we've been talking a while, and I'm actually losing consciousness, so we should wrap this up. So that was our random ass show, folks.
That was random.
That was pretty. Hope you don't mind. We talked about a lot of different stuff, but
Batman.
I think people like that. I think people have told me they like that, so it's good we do this. This check-in every once in a while, checking on what we're playing and checking on the news and stuff. So it's good every once in a while. But I think next week we're going to have some folks from Arkin. I have to confirm that. But we might have some folks from Arkin Games, the folks who make AIWAR, to talk about their next space game, the last Federation, the next Federation. God, what the hell is it called?
Federation.
No, it's like the last
Federation.
No, the last Federation. That's what it's called. Okay. Apparently it's a tactical space roguelike thingy.
Yeah,
so that's exciting.
Love
anything roguelike. I am, you know me, I'm there. So in space, even more there. So I'm excited about it. So we're going to try and get them on.
Oh, and Cleve Blakemore still has Grimoire coming soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Anyway, folks, that's our show. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions or anything, hit the comments.
Yeah, and if you're one of the three people that actually got that Grimoire joke, you deserve it.
God. I don't feel bad for that guy at all. I really, really don't feel bad for that guy at all. He's such, I don't even know. I just read his stuff. I'm like, wow. And then you look at the game he's making, and you're like, whoa.
It was pretty pimp back in like 94.
94, 96. Yeah, it looked like a great competitor to Wizardry 7.
Yep, and still is. All right, good night.
Good night.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler.
Sure thing.